नमः हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाशातिदेशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वर्स 71 विहाय कामान्य सर्वान् पुमान् शरदि निस्पृह निर्ममो निरहंकार सशांतिम् अधिगच्छति कृष्ण सेज दैट वन हू हैज रीच दैट स्टेट ऑफ शांति और पीस ही सेज विहाय कामान्य सर्वान् पुमान् शरदि निस्पृह ही इज ए पर्सन whose all his desires have gone away from inside, such a person is like a dry leaf, Krishna says, that he moves around in the wind, as the he has complete freedom, whichever direction the wind flows, the leaf goes. In the same way, because there is no vasanas inside, he has got completely relaxed, no weight in him. And he also says that, nirmamo nirahankara, that he has no attachment anywhere, no mamata or attachment, or nirahangaram, no false ego inside, sa shandim adhigachadi, that he reaches that state of shandi. So in the Upanishads, you will also notice the same thing mentioned in a different way. Kathopanishad says, Yatha sarve prabhidhyande hridayaseha grandhaya adhamartyo mruto bhaval edavad anushasanam. Yatha sarve prabhidhyande hridayaseva grandhaya. Hridayaseva grandhaya means when the knots of the heart are untied, As you know, Shastram talks about Hridaya Granthi, isn't it? Vidyade Hridaya Granthi. A Granthi is this, that there is a knot of attachment inside to this world in different ways, isn't it? Through wife, children, home, wealth, all kinds of attachment in this. When all those attachments are broken, Yatha Sarve Pravidyande Hridaya Seva Granthaya Ayo Martyo Amrdo Bhavati. He becomes immortal. Amrdo Bhavati. He says, Amrdo Bhavati Edavad Anushasanam. This is the whole of the teaching. What Krishna says here is exactly the same thing from the Kathopanishad. Uhaya Kamanya Sarvan Puman Charadi Nispraha Narmamo Nirahangara Sashandim Adigachadi. When all the desires go away from inside, he reaches immortality. And while he is within the body, he reaches the state of Brahman, Brahman realization. And in that state, Suramandira Tarumula Nivasa Shaya Bhudala Majinam Vasa Sarva Parigraha Bogatyaga Kasi Sukhamna Karodi Viraga. That even when one is underneath the tree lying down, Suramandira Taru Mula Nivasam, while one is lying down underneath the tree, Shayabhudala Majinam Vasa, that the land, the ground is his bed, and Sarva Parigraha Bhogatyagam, without holding on to anything, no possessiveness anymore left inside, no attachment to any kind of sense enjoyment, all sense enjoyment given up, Kasya Sukham Na Karoti Viraga. That happiness, what one experiences at that time, that he will not experience in any other state, because that is the state of freedom, complete freedom. It says here that what can one say about that state of renunciation? Then there is no more attachment to anything. Normally, our anxiety is always about our wealth. Wherever the wealth is there, our attention will be there. Because we haven't got anymore else to leave behind, that there's nothing more possessing anymore. Once we make up this decision inside our mind, Krishna says that is the goal. From grahasthas, from householders, it's not expected that they have to give up everything. What is expected to give up that? Attachment to worldly possessions. This verse one mentioned here is a state of a renounced soul. In other words, a sannyasi state is this vihaya kamanya sarvan. Not for the householder. Householder is meant to have his possessions, but householder also should give up that attachment. In order to bring that consciousness into the householder, it was spoken like that. Because when we lose something, not to feel disturbed over it and to feel the distress from that, that is what is expected from us, from the householders. That is the difference between householder. For a sannyasi, he is finished with everything. He is in a different state. For a householder, it is expected that he able to give up the attachment to everything. We mentioned this also before the story. Pakana is a famous personality who, one stage, he was an incarnation of Vishnu. And it's not mentioned in the Shastram as such, but many people recognize that. That Pakana was an incarnation of Vishnu. And in one state, one situation, he was walking along a field. And at that time, two people were coming opposite to him. He says to them, don't go there. There is someone who kills people, who kills human beings. Don't go anywhere near to that, he said. But those two wouldn't listen. They went along. And then they suddenly saw this treasure lying there, a huge amount of gold coins lying there. So when they saw that, they thought what a great day we had. The other person, Pakanara, has left it and walked away from there. These two goes there, they collect all the gold coins and going home. While going home, they were thinking that if I can kill the other one, I can get the whole thing to myself. Both of them were thinking the same thing. And eventually they boil some milk and they put poison in either of their glasses. And they both drank and they got died, both. So this is a story to illustrate that the wealthy sometimes can cause these problems. So therefore, once attachment is given up to the wealth, it will develop this mood in us, that Narmamada. That's what Krishna is talking about, Narmamattvam, or and freedom from false ego. So, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apakrata Chedasam. Bhogam Aishwaryam, sense enjoyment, material opulences. When one is carried away by that, then he loses his consciousness. Apakrata Chetasam. And Vidyaya Vindade Amritam. That one who has knowledge, he will be his main, he will have developed this understanding not to get sticking to anything. Narmamata, that is what it means. Isn't it? Krishna spoke about that before also. Narmamato means not to get stuck in anything. Anything in this world, it comes and it goes. We are only a silent spectator or silent witness to everything what's happening. The moment we get attached to it and identifies with it, then we will have to experience distress from that. Mamata or Ahankari. One, Krishna says, a yogi who is able to walk in this world completely freedom, with full freedom, Krishna says, he is the person who is ready for liberation. When in Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna was talking to Uddhava also, first thing Krishna says to Uddhava was, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajane bandhushu mayavesha mana samyak samadrak vijarasvagam. He says to Uddhava, it is like this, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajane bandhushu. Attachment to relatives, friends, and all other connections in the world, and all other attachments, sarvam parityajya, give up that. And mayaveshamana, fix your mind upon me, samadrak vijarasvagam, and with an equal mind walk in this world and leave this world in that way. So this is that state what we are talking about, brahmanirvanam or brahmistiti, what will be coming to that in the next verse. So Krishna calls that state of shandi or peace as brahmistiti. That is called brahmistiti. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look that verse, also Krishna says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. That's the verse number 1862. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada tal prasadal param shantim. Again Krishna mentions about shanti. It is that shanti state. Sthanam prapsasi shashvadam. So, tameva sharanam gacha. He says there, by grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Krishna gives importance to that peace very much. It is that shanti. This whole second chapter is talking about. And that shanti, Krishna calls here in the next verses brahmistiti. Brahmistiti. And that is the same things what is known as self-realized state. And that is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. Krishna says, Arjuna, one who reaches that state before death, he should fix his mind upon that state of consciousness where the full peace is attained. And one should make sure that he doesn't lose that at any stage. That somehow or the other, Krishna says, if we can practice it and develop that and come to that stage of brahmistiti or peace within himself before the time of death, then he should make it his own inside and fix on that. Under no circumstances, you should not lose it. Even if he falls into a coma state at the time of death, because at the time of death it is very difficult to say how we will leave this body. You can fall into a coma. You can fall, or you may not fall into a coma, but with full consciousness you may die. But the body may not be able to function properly. So in the bodily phase or bodily level, you may experience distress, various distresses at the time of death, in the bodily level. In the mental level, you can experience different kinds of pains and distress at the time of death. Because if it is for the body, if it is for the body, sometimes with their morphine and chloroform and things like that, probably they will relieve you from that pain. They can relieve you from the pain. But in the mental faculty, various thoughts will come at that time, at the time of leaving the body, due to our own conditioning in this world, that we don't know what thoughts will come up at the time of death. That's very uncertain, isn't it? So, different kinds of experiences, thoughts will come up at that point. So, Krishna is saying that the beyond than that, even if that happens, that means if the body is not under control, the mind is also not under control, but behind that, there is the state of Bodhamandalam. Bodhamandalam means the face of the soul, the spiritual consciousness. If one is situated in that, which cannot be touched by anything, Krishna saying that only if that happens, you can be protected. You can be protected. There is a shelter there. The shelter is not in the body, shelter is not in the mind, shelter is in the soul. So, before the time of death, Krishna is saying that somehow or the other, if you reach that state of consciousness in relationship with the soul, then even if something happens to the body, it doesn't matter. Something happens to the mind, even then it doesn't matter. The spiritual platform will protect us. That state of Brahmi Sthiti, what is Krishna is calling here. It is there that we have to build a house. Not in the mental platform or in the physical platform. The houses that we build in the bodily platform will break down, will dismantle oneself. The house we build in the mental platform also will collapse. But the house we build in the Bodhamandalam or the spiritual consciousness, that will never collapse. That's what Krishna is saying there. Krishna's point is, if throughout life, if we practice this and somehow or the other, we develop a little bit of that, even that will protect us. That is Krishna's point. What is that? The understanding of the soul and the knowledge what Krishna has spoken in the second chapter. And if we practice that in this lifetime, even if it does not become perfect, Krishna says, at the time of death, that little shelter what you have taken from the soul, that will come up at the time of death and protect us. Yasham Brahmi Sthiti Partha, Krishna says there. If we build a foundation in the sand, it will collapse. On the other hand, if you build a house in the sand without a foundation, it will collapse. And if you build another house with a deep foundation, it will protect. One's house, it blown away in the wind. Other's house stayed. So that is what Krishna is talking about, Anubhuti Mandalam. Anubhuti Mandalam means our level of realization, the experience what we are, or the realization what we obtain in this world. If our realization is dependent on the sadhana, what we do, on the puja, what we do, or the deity worship, whatever we do, if everything is external, it will remain external. If everything is external, it will remain external. And once they leave us, we will feel distress also. Like some people, they take to the deity worship or to puja and other external sadhanas based on our practicing every day on sadhana level. But sadhana, the problem with the sadhana is when the sadhana, you are unable to execute the sadhana, then you will be very distressful about it. Oh, I couldn't practice my sadhana today. That will happen. So, that distress will happen at the time of death. Many people, for lifelong, they have practiced different sadhana, yoga systems, meditations and deity worship and chanting, everything they practice, but because physically they became incapable of doing that, they start feeling the distress at that point. But if somehow our attention has fallen in towards the soul, that attention will remain. Because the soul is capable of waking us to the reality at the time of death, when we leave this body. This is the most important message in the second chapter. Krishna's point is, anything you have done external in this world will not help you at the time of death. Only what you have done internally, inside, to realize the truth, the soul inside, and the energy you have spent in thinking about that, and the surrender you have made to that, Krishna's presence inside as the soul, that will come at the time of death, as the shelter. So, if you find that point, Krishna says, even if you lose the body, even if you lose the mind, still Krishna says that that is Brahmistiri. That is the next verse. Verse 72. Yesha Brahmistiti Partham.
Yesha Brahmistiti Partham.
Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati.
Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati.
Stitvasyam Andakalebi.
Stitvasyam Andakalebi.
Brahma Nirvana
Mrichati.
Esha Brahmistiti Partha.
Esha Brahmistiti Partha.
Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati.
Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati.
Stitvasyam Andakalebi.
Stitvasyam Andakalebi.
Brahma Nirvanam
Rachati. Brahma Nirvanam Rachati.
Translation. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Esha Brahmistiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati Stitvasyam Andakalebi Brahma Nirvanam Mrichati. Krishna says, this Brahmistiti, what he refers to, Esha Brahmistiti, Brahmistiti, the word Brahmi is female. Is female, feminine it is. Brahmistiti is called another name of Ambiga or Sri Parvati. That is her another name. Brahmi state is Sri Parvati's another name is Brahmi. Brahmi, Ambiga, Sharada, Narayani. There's so many names mentioned there. So Brahmi is another name for Sharada. This Brahmistiti, she is Shakti Swarupini. She has got strength in her, full of knowledge, Jnana Swarupini. And when she is in that state, she is referred to as Brahmi. Also another name is Sharada. And that's why spiritual knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam also you will see a name Vaisharadi Buddhi. That's also coming from the word Sharada. Another name to Sri Parvati. So, Sharada, Brahmistiti, these are all refers to her. So, Brahmistiti, if you have developed that, It will protect us at the time, even when we are in crisis. If there is that Brahmistiti, if we achieve that Brahmistiti. If we achieve that Brahmistiti, what Krishna has mentioned here, with all these last 71 verses, Krishna is trying to bring us to that state. If we reach that state, Krishna says, even if he falls into any kind of illusion, Brahmistiti, we will protect us at that stage. At least at the time of death, Krishna says, the only help you can give to someone who is leaving the body is this. Krishna says, the greatest help you can offer to him at the time of death, that if that person has not understood this state of consciousness, if you can remind him, if it is possible at the time of death, we should do that. If that is not possible, Krishna says, at least read this chapter to him. While leaving the body, when the person is leaving the body, the second chapter is generally read out to them. If the person is not in a position to hear or to think, if he has lost his consciousness or anything happens like that, then one should read these verses to him. And if a person is in a position to hear or able to think or able to react to us, then we should read out this chapter, especially these verses, and explain to him about the state of Brahmistiti. So, Esham Brahmistiti Partha Nainam Prapi Vimukhyati. At the time of death, one should somehow reach this Brahmi state. That's the important point Krishna mentions there. Nainam prapi vimuhyadi. One should not cry at that point. When somebody is dying, we shouldn't cry. Nobody should cry at the time of death. This is important. Because what happens is, at the time of death, relatives will come. Sometimes children, they come to see the parents at the time of death, isn't it? Last 5 or 10 years, they may be away, far away, somewhere else. And at the time of death, he will appear in front of you. And when he comes, you start thinking about him. Oh, what a nice son I have. He's thinking about me and he has come to see me. If that happens, the whole thing is gone. Whole thing is gone. Which means that at the time of death, if he comes to you and you start feeling attachment to him at that point, Krishna is saying, then the whole thing can get into a disaster, because it is at that time that all the different kinds of vasanas in us sprouts at the time of death. All the kinds of vasanas in us will sprout. So if it gets an object, the vasanas will move into that. Say for example, children, they come at the time of death. And if our thoughts goes behind that children, thinking about them in some way, because if the vasanas are strong inside, it will take that direction at that point. If it happens, and on the other hand, the adibhishana kadubhashanam. It says there that the adibhishana kadubhashana yamakingara patale. The yamadudas, representatives, they come. When they come, what it means is that the three kinds of distresses inside, adhyalpiyam, adibhautikam, adidevigam, three kinds of distresses, and they will take its personal form in personifications. They will pull the soul out of this body, out of this body. So that is what is represented here as Yama's agents. The Yama, the god of death. His agents, we call them as his agents. What normally happens is the three kinds of distresses will take some personal form and pull the soul away from this body. Krutataadana paribhidana maranagama samaye. At the time of death, when the death has come, very close to death, krutataadana paribhidana. They all those vasanas we have created inside, they will find its way to move on to the next body. Krutataadana paripeedanam. That means they will start putting pressure on us to leave the body, to move on to the next body. Because the vasanas are aware that time has come to leave the body. The subtle body gets a signal first, before it happens to the gross body. It is from the subtle body it comes to the gross body, the message to leave the body. So when it happens, inside the subtle body, there is a very strong disturbance inside, in the subtle body. That is what he says here. Krutataadana paripedanam. That inside the subtle body, there is a continuous disturbance inside, and it develops very strongly, and it transfers to the gross body, to the gross body. So, umayasaha mama chedasi yamashasana nivasan. The time has come, yamashasana nivasan. Time has come to leave this body. And if at that time, if our consciousness is fixed on the soul, on the spiritual identity, what we are, and our relationship with Krishna, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, that state which is called Brahmisthiti, if we are in that state, even if all these things happen, we will be protected. That's the point Krishna is making. That yumayasaha mama chedasi yamashasana nivasan. Even yamashasana, yama's instructions comes, and mama chetasi, if in my subtle body, if it is creating so many disturbances, harashankara shivashankara harame haraduritam. That distress what you are going through at that point, it is then the maximum help is required. Plus, all the illnesses and diseases in the body, that will also give you a lot of misery at that point, isn't it? Different kinds of, at the time of death, it's not only one disease that causes the whole thing, isn't it? It's a mixture of various things. problems with the problems. Some people could have various things disturbing the body at the time of leaving, and we don't know what actually caused the death. Doctors may say something, but it manifests in different forms because the time has come to leave the body. So, adhibhushana kadubhashanam, and at that time, it is very frightening also for our subtle body. Very frightening experience, adhibhushana kadubhashanam. And you also experience that people who are talking to you at that time are speaking in a very rude tone, in a very rude way. And this is all happening inside us at that point. It's not from outside, inside us. Because when the subtle body leaves this body, the gross body, it has to, it creates these disturbances before it leaves this body. So a lot of things are going on inside. We are seeing a lot of things which others don't see at that time. There's so many cases reported like that. People who have engaged in very gross sinful activities at the time of death, those activities, what they have done, they, that itself will take a personal form and come and disturb your mind very strongly. That is the reason why we say we should refrain from sinful life, because sinful activities will come back to us at the time of death and it will pull the soul out from here to suffer the consequences from that. So, the idamama. So, if at that time, if my attention is all on the wife and the children and the wealth and things like that, and in that case, not knowing that all these things is nothing but a false thing, like the water in the desert, if you imagine yourself that you are experiencing death, at that time you will know that all these things are false. The connection with wife and husband and children, and also with the wealth, what we have, all become a false object in front of us. Up to that point, we keep thinking this is all real, real, real. But at the time of death, when this final state, when one has to leave that body, at that time we wake up and come to realize that this is it. All this was a complete false, what I have lived my life through. That realization will come at that point. So, if I get absorbed in that, in these false objects, distress will come. Distress will come. At that time, only shelter is to take the shelter of this Brahmisthiti or the Shanti inside. So, therefore, Krishna's point is, while the body is in a good shape, the mind is in a reasonable shape, and the senses are also have some strength, Krishna says you should put your attention on the soul inside and give enough time to reflect on that, to stay in that spiritual platform. The more time we spend on that, Krishna is not talking about meditation in the yoga system. Krishna is talking about to withdrawing the mind from the world outside and fixing it on the platform of the soul. Platform of the soul. What all this Krishna has spoken about it, the glories of the soul, the importance of vyavasayalpiya buddhi, importance of sthitaprajnatvam, the process of achieving that sthitaprajnatvam, what Krishna has discussed in the second chapter, all these topics requires very, very thorough and detailed analysis inside. And if we practice that on a regular basis, Krishna is saying to us, That Brahmisthiti is possible to achieve before death happens. And if we do that, at the time of death, even if so many distress and disturbances come, that consciousness what you have created in this life will come to our shelter. So, initially we have to catch on to Krishna. Then Krishna will catch us. That is the way it works. First, we have to take Krishna shelter. If we hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, and if we hold, what, when I say Krishna's lotus feet means this understanding of the soul of taking Krishna's instructions, that is Krishna's lotus feet. We haven't seen Krishna yet. We have only seen the deity form, isn't it? But what we have got is this valuable instructions from Krishna. That is coming from Krishna's, from Krishna directly to us. So Krishna is saying, if you take these instructions as shelter, And constantly absorb your mind in these thoughts, what I have discussed before, Krishna is saying, then, and you hold on to me in that way, through these instructions, at the time of death, I will get you at that time. First we have to take instructions, shelter of the instructions. Then these instructions will shelter us later. That is the rule. First you have to choose him, then he will choose you. And initially we should try to get absorbed in these things, in these thoughts. And some instances, there are people who have come to that state due to Krishna's mercy, have reached that state. They have not experienced the full samadhi in that state, but experienced somewhat a certain success they had in spiritual life by experiencing this Brahmi sthiti before the time of death. So even if you have experienced somewhat this state of realization, Krishna says, even by chance anything happens at the time of death, something could happen, but at that time, this little shelter what you have taken will come to your shelter. This is the point Krishna is making. Once it so happened that a mother, who was very attached to the, somehow or the other, she has made a lot of progress in spiritual life, constantly reflected on these instructions from Krishna, and she has reached a certain state of consciousness, that she was very conscious of that. That what is Brahmi sthiti means, and she has experienced to some level. But somehow or the other, at the time of death, she got attached to the grandchild. She got attached to the grandchild. So at that time, somebody asked a sannyasi, now what will happen to her? She was getting closer to this grandchild, thoughts had come to her. The sannyasi said to him, the person who asked this question, that you don't have to worry about that. She has in the past taken shelter and had reflected and kept this in her heart strongly. That will protect her at that point. It is no point, and she will not lose it again. She will not lose it again. Once you have found out that shelter, and it will come back at the time of death. At the time of death. Once you have found that shelter, once you have found that shelter, you will not lose it again. It may not be there in every moment, but at the time of death, it will come to our shelter. The body, the mind, and when all these things are strong, we have to practice it. Not at the time of leaving the body. Most of the people are thinking, you see, this is a problem also. Sometimes, when you read those verses in the Bhagavad Gita, which says what? Says, at the time of death, if you think about me, then, andhakaleja mamebi smaran tektva kalebaram, yal prayadisam adbhavam yadi nastyatra samshaya. Krishna says, isn't it? That the time of death, if you remember me and give up the body, then you will reach me. There's no doubt about it. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita like that. Isn't it? So people start thinking, oh, all I have to do is at the time of death, I have to think about Krishna. Then I will get liberated. I don't have to come back here again. So they leave that to the last minute to think about it. Krishna's point is, it will not happen like that. Unless we practice it now, and keep ourselves in that platform, then even if some fall down happened, Krishna says, that because you have taken shelter of me at the time when you were in healthy state, I have a responsibility to take you away at that point, to protect you. Krishna's protection is like that. Not like this, that when the house is on fire, you start digging the well to find water, to extinguish the fire. It's no point then. At that time, it's too late. Isn't it? It's too late. There's a statement like that. That when the house is caught fire, then you decide there's no water. So you start digging the well at that time. It's going to take time to get the water after digging the well, isn't it? By the time, the house is gone. House is gone. Similarly, at the time of death, if we think we are going to find shelter in Krishna, it's not going to happen. Taking shelter has to be now. And get the mind fixed on Krishna and the instructions of Krishna at this time. When mind is healthy and strong, body is healthy, the senses are strong. So that is why it is that Yesham Brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapi vimuhyati stitvasyam andhakalebi brahma nirvanam rachati. So stitvasyam andhakalebi, at the time of death, that he will attain that what is known as Brahma Nirvanam. If he does, if that certainty should be there, when we know that we have, the time has come to leave the body. If If not, remaining time, we should be meditating on this point. If it happens, Krishna says, you are released. Brahmanirvana Murchari. And he enters into that, the world of peace. The jiva will enter into that state. Otherwise, if we leave this body with full of desires, and we leave this world in that way, we enter into the world of darkness. If you look into Ishopanishad, it says that, that's how Ishopanishad, there is an important verse like that. It says like this, that antham tama pravishyanti ya avidya upasade, ye avidya upasade, tadho bhuya ivate tamo ya u vidyayam rataha. Vidyam cha vidya avidyam cha yastad do ubhayam saha avidyaya mrityam tirtva vidyayam mridam ashnute. It is a verse in the ninth mantra. There are totally 18 mantras in Ishopanishads. So this is the ninth mantra. Antandama pravishyandi avidya upasade. Those who are engaged in material life, material sense gratification, that is called avidya upasana. Avidya upasana means serving the matter, serving the body, serving the mind, and experiencing the upasana. Upasana means contemplation of things. That is upasana. If you keep on contemplating on material life, matter, and bodily extensions, our own body, this is all called avidya upasana. So one Kishopanishad is saying, antham tama pravishyandi avidyayam upasade. If you continue avidya upasana, antantama pravishyandi, he has to enter into the dark world. Tadho bhuya ivade tamoya o vidyayam rataha. One who has engaged in the cultivation of the spiritual knowledge and who has taken shelter of the soul, Krishna says, vidyayam uparatam, uparati, or one who has developed knowledge of the self that functions is within us, is that divine thing. Tato bhuya ivato tamoya o vidyayam rataha. One who has rati, one who has developed, absorbed his consciousness or thoughts in vidya. Vidya means knowledge. Vidya is always referred to spiritual knowledge. In Shastram, vidya means spiritual knowledge. Avidya means all related to matter and the body. And he transcends the tamam. Tamasa means the ignorance. He transcends that. And vidya cha avidyam ya estat ubhayam saha. We have only those two things in front of us. Vidya and avidya. Then, avidyaya mrityu tirtva vidyayam mridam ashnute. Avidya will develop into mrityu or death, and vidya will develop into immortality. That's what Krishna says. Tato bhuya vidyam rataha. The ignorant people, ignorant people will automatically go into that state of matter, which is after death. They have to enter into the darkness region of ignorance. They fall into that ignorant state again. But those who have understood all these things from the Shastram, but if they don't practice it, there will be in a serious problem. Why? Not only that they'll go into darkness, they will also have this distress that I didn't practice it in my life. That guilt will come back at that time. So, when we study Bhagavad Gita, it is not entertainment. It is for serious business it is. It's not something to be heard and left it. Oh, I've heard all that now. Then it becomes like a musical concert. It doesn't bring any results at the end, isn't it? So, all this knowledge what Krishna has spoken in the second chapter, it should be again and again, constantly one should go through it and make it a part of our thought process inside. Otherwise, it is a serious offense. Why? Unless an ignorant person who completely absorbed in the matter, he goes to the that world of death. In other words, what Krishna refers to that ajnana tamogunam, or the andhantama pravishyandi. He goes into darkness, no doubt. But the person who heard all this and did not take advantage of it, he will have the extra misery that he heard all this, didn't take advantage of it, and he will experience that at the time of death. That's what Krishna is saying. And that is the Ishavanishad verse, that one who has got this light, this Jyotis, Krishna calls us Jyotis, and we should walk in front of the light, not in front of the darkness. And that freedom, Krishna says, has been given to us. Krishna has given us that freedom. And he enters into Brahmanirvanam. He enters into Brahmanirvanam. That is what is Krishna calls it as perfection. Krishna calls it as perfection. His life, Krishna says, is just like a candle or camphor. The candle burns all the time and eventually everything disappears. Or camphor also. If you set fire to the camphor burns and it disappears. Nothing will be left behind. So his disappearance is like that. That everything, purna anubhuti, complete experience of the truth at the time of leaving the body. Purna anubhuti. So, it is at that time, Krishna says, one should come back to his swasvarupam, his own proper identity as the spirit soul. And he, Krishna, calls it as Brahmanirvanam. Brahmanirvanam. And that Brahmanirvanam Richari, Krishna says, one who is experiencing that while he is within this body, Krishna calls him as Sthita Prajna. One who experiences Brahmanirvana state all the time while he is within the body, Krishna calls him as Sthita Prajna. And this Sthita Prajnatvam is the whole message from Bhagavad Gita. There is nothing else. Bhagavad Gita's message is this Sthita Prajnatvam. Arjuna asked a question, isn't it? Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistase Keshava. And Krishna started explaining what Sthita Prajnatvam means, the steady state of that consciousness, that freedom from all attachment. Bhagavadam also will tell you the same thing. Vidyade hridaya granthi, attachments broken everywhere. Chidyande sarva samshayaha, all doubts have gone away. Kshiyande chasya karmani, there is no more karmam to be, there is no more vasanas inside left. Drishto eva paravare, he is seeing the truth at that point. In other words, he is completely situated on the spiritual platform and is totally in conscious of his identity, what he is. That is self-realization. So, this chapter, second chapter, is called, Prabhupada counts it as contents of Bhagavad Gita summarized. That's how Prabhupada mentions that. In the original Bhagavad Gita, which is the one commented by Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya and others, in Sanskrit is called Sankhya Yogam. Second chapter is called Sankhya Yogam. So, Sankhyam or this knowledge is the main topic that is discussed. In this chapter you will see there are two parts. The first part is Sankhyam and the second part is Yogam. Isn't it? Sankhyam and Yogam. That is how this chapter is together. First, up to the particular point, Krishna talks about Sankhyam. That means the knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. From the point when Arjuna asked a question, that Arjuna surrenders to Krishna and says to him, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. It was at that point Krishna started the instructions. So actually Bhagavad Gita begins with the second chapter. Although the first chapter is only the background, setting up the background for Bhagavad Gita. But instruction starts in the second chapter. So this chapter is important. And Krishna has spoken, at the end of this chapter, some doubts came in Arjuna's mind regarding the yoga system, of the yoga part, not the Sankhya part, about the yoga part. Arjuna had some questions. So when Arjuna asked those questions, Krishna answered that in the third chapter. Third chapter is answer to those questions which has come up in Arjuna's mind after hearing the second chapter. Isn't it? If you look into the third chapter, you will see, it begins with a couple of questions from Arjuna. That I heard, he says, from the second chapter, I heard these things and these doubts have come to my mind. So, based on the second chapter, the questions came up in Arjuna, doubts came in Arjuna's mind, which he raised, and in answer to that, Krishna spoke the third chapter. So, strictly speaking, as far as Krishna is concerned, Bhagavad Gita finishes with third chapter. It's only the second and third chapter, in essence, Krishna wanted to talk to Arjuna. But because after the third chapter, Krishna felt the necessary to expand on various things, Sangyam and Yogam, two things Krishna wanted to explain to Arjuna. In the fourth chapter, you will see this again, Krishna saying that. Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Krishna says there, isn't it? Logesmin Dvidha Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanaha Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Krishna begins the fourth chapter, I think, with that verse. And there you can see that from time immemorial, these two processes only, jnanam and karmam, are the two processes, not bhakti. Bhakti is a state after jnanam and after karmam, which is a higher state of consciousness. But preliminarily, one has to go through these two, jnanam and karmam. If you read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, you will find Prabhupada stressing on bhakti a lot. But if you properly understand what Bhakti Prabhupada has presented to us, is nothing but Karma Yoga. It's nothing but Karma Yoga. We have missed the point. We have separated karmam from Karma Yoga and Bhakti. And we are completely confused about it. Many instances, this is what you find. Karma Yoga is Bhakti. Karma Yoga is Bhakti. That is why the third chapter is very, very important. If we understand how to remove the karmam from us, the karmam is that's holding this body. This body, prior to this body has developed, karmam was there. Prarabdha karmam was created first. It came in the form of this body later. Isn't it? So that is why he says there, this is all very well known things. Jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam. It says like this in the Bhagavad Gita. Logesmin dvidha nishta pura prokta mayanaka. If you keep on looking at Bhagavad Gita, you will find a lot of interesting things. Krishna says, Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vaivasvan manuve praha manuchaguve bravid. If you remember that verse in the fourth chapter, I think. Krishna is saying, while talking to Arjuna, Arjuna, this knowledge, first time I instructed the sun god, Vaivasvan. And from Vaivasvan, Manu, Swayambhu Shraddhadev, Manu got instruction. Vaivasvan Manuve Praha. Then Manu instructed to Ichwagu. There's a whole history behind this. If you understand that whole history, it's very interesting. It is in the Bhagavatam in the ninth canto. How that dynasty, solar dynasty, developed in due course. So, the beginning of solar dynasty, the sun, he is the person who got this first instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says this was instructed to him. That means Prabhupada gives the time gap about 40 million years or something mentioned there. Calculates in the introduction, he mentions that. So, sun was instructed this knowledge in the beginning. And the whole Surya Vamsham, if you look, the solar dynasty, that dynasty is called the dynasty of knowledge. The dynasty of knowledge. Surya Vamsham is called the dynasty of knowledge. All the great kings, all the great sages in that dynasty followed the process of knowledge. Followed the process of knowledge, Surya Vamsham. So Surya Vamsham is known for the process of knowledge. Whereas Krishna's dynasty, Chandra Vamsham, is known for the process of yoga. That is the difference. The Surya Vamsham or solar dynasty and Chandra Vamsham, lunar dynasty. These are the two dynasties in this world from creation. So solar dynasty received the knowledge part and lunar dynasty received the process of yoga. So that is why Krishna is saying there, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. There's only two processes in spiritual life. There's no other process. Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam. Sanghya Yogam or the process of knowledge was instructed to the solar dynasty and it stayed in that way. And Karma Yogena Yoginam, the false process of Karma Yogam was instructed to the lunar dynasty and it stayed in this world through that dynasty. Krishna appeared in the lunar dynasty, Ramchandra appeared in the solar dynasty. That is the system it has been built upon. So, you can see there that these two processes Krishna gives important. There is no other process Now, the Karma Yogam or yoga process, what was discussed in Lunar Dynasty, is the process of bhakti, which is also called in another name as Bhagavata Dharma. What has happened most of us to understand is like this, that we started thinking bhakti yogam is completely separate from all these things. I have nothing to do with jnanam, I have nothing to do with karma, I am a devotee. This false concept somehow got into our head. And many people are thinking, I am not bound by any rules of this world, neither by the jnanam or karmam. I am independent because I am a devotee. No, devotee is not anywhere free from any of these rules. He is also bound by all these rules. So, Karma Yogam has an important role in our spiritual development. If we want to even practice Bhakti Yogam, if it is not associated with Karma Yogam is the engine that is driving Bhakti. Karma Yogam brings us to that state where one can practice pure Bhakti, proper Bhakti. So, Karma Yogam is an important part of that process. So, that's why Krishna is saying, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Logesmin Dvidha Nishta. Two kinds of Nishta. Nishta means two kinds of practices people had. What is that? Pura Prokta Mayanakha. My dear Arjuna, it has been existing from time immemorial. One is this Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam and other one is Karma Yogena Yoginam. Either through Jnanam or through Karma. You have got only these two options. Those who have a power for developing spiritual knowledge, those who have a strength of controlling their mind, or those who have very serious and genuine interest in spiritual advancement, and who have made up their mind that they want to free themselves from this world, for them, Jnana Yogam will suit. Because their seriousness and their capacity there is no need for them to practice Karma Yogam. Why? Already they have reached that state of consciousness whereby simply by reflection they can stay in that Brahmi sthiti all the time. They can stay in the Brahmi sthiti. There are many examples like that. Many great souls, they haven't executed much of Karma Yoga. Right from the birth itself, they were fortunate enough that they have cultivated spiritual life in many, many lifetimes. So suddenly in one life, they get the body where their ability to develop that spiritual realization is so good that they will not be attracted to any karma in this world. They have no attraction for karma. They have no attraction for karma. On the other hand, their consciousness is so good that sufficient purification inside, total absorption in spiritual life is possible for them without any external effort. It's already there inside, a storehouse of spiritual realization inside. For such people, Krishna says, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam. They can go in that route. They don't require to be instructed anything about Karma Yoga or karma. But those others who do not have that, who could not do that, at the same time they have a lot of vasanas inside, karma vasana inside, and who hasn't developed that chitta shuddhi, because eventually we karma yogis also have to come to that state at some point. For them, Krishna has instructed this Karma Yoga, which you find in the third chapter. So these two processes, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam, are the two options in front of us. It is left to us which one to go, depending on our own spiritual strength in us. So it's up to left to us. So, and he gives example that all those, if you look into the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, in the ninth canto, you will see one king, his son. It goes like that. So constantly the words keep on saying, tasmat, goes on. So they call the ninth canto as a train, like a railway train. It keeps going like that, words after words. Full of parent to father to son names mentioned. One wonder, why all these so many names mentioned? How does it help Parikshit at the time of death? knowing all these hundreds and thousands of names of different kings who appeared in the Solar Dynasty and Lunar Dynasty. The reason for that is that it is also telling that Sudeva Goswami wanted to tell Parikshit that all these great personalities in the Solar Dynasty, they all cultivated their spiritual life through the process of knowledge. And that is in relationship with that, he is mentioning those names there. And those kings who are mentioned in the Lunar Dynasty, they all followed the process of Karma Yoga. So you can see the connection between the ninth canto of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita here. Bhagavad Gita is saying like this, two processes, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yoginam. Jnana Yogam was followed by the Solar Dynasty, Karma Yogam was followed by the Lunar Dynasty, Chandravamsham. So, these two things existed all the time. And in all great commentaries, Acharya's commentaries, it is on this path they follow. And Bhakti is not mentioned as even as a yoga process. Even if you look into the Bhakti Yogam chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, it's all Karma Yogam there. Karma Yogam is spoken. It's not referring to any other puja or deity worship or dhyanam or anything. Nothing is spoken. It's all relationship with karma. It is that Karma Yogam what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita that we understand now as the proper Bhakti Yogam. So, with that we will finish this now, second chapter. Important thing, I'll keep repeating this again, that it is no good if you just hear and leave it there. It's no good at all. It's not going to help. On the other hand, by hearing this, you have created an extra burden on yourself that if you don't hear it, this distress also will come at the time of death, apart from the other distresses, what's already there. So, instead of facing that situation, it's very good if you can listen to this, what we talked about in this, about the second chapter, again and again, as much as possible as time allows. And we had something like 52 classes or something so far. As much as possible to my capacity, I've tried to put it to you. This is what I have understood from Bhagavad Gita. And if you feel it helps you, it's good. If you feel it hasn't helped you, but still don't lose Bhagavad Gita. At least keep Bhagavad Gita in the heart. Bhagavad Gita is worthwhile holding on to. If there is one literature in the world which is not sectarian, completely speaking to you from the platform of the soul, that is Bhagavad Gita. Any other literature if you take, they will say, this is the only way, you have to come through this, or I have to come through this way. They all tell you that. Bhagavad Gita doesn't tell you that. Bhagavad Gita tells you the science of the soul. And it is presented to us, in front of us, like a science. If you take advantage of it, you get the benefit. If you don't take it, you lost the benefit, that's all. But nobody is going to punish you for that. We have to follow the laws of the nature, that's all. Material nature. So, Krishna has been very kind to us that he has given us this understanding in this way. We don't have to fight each other on, my religion is correct, your religion is wrong, or my God is right, your God is wrong. This is all bogus, all foolishness. It's nothing to do with spiritual life. That's why I was mentioning yesterday, spiritual life is independent from religion. Religion causes problems, spiritual life doesn't cause any problems. Spiritual life gives us the proper understanding of what we are. If we understand what we are, then what happens, Krishna says, once you have realized the self, then you will see all that exists is nothing but the soul. Krishna is present in everyone as the soul. And once that vision comes, there is no ragam, there is no dvesham, no attachment, no aversion, no kartrutvam, I am the doer, no bhoktrutvam, I am the enjoyer. Everything goes away. Krishna calls that as the Brahmi Sthiti or Sthita Prajnato state, what he called before. So, what time is it now? It's just 5 o'clock. So, this is where we are now. And if there is any questions on the second chapter, we can discuss for another half an hour or 45 minutes.
Might I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Regarding the karma and jnana, because you hear a lot about saying that we should be free from all conceptions of karma and gyan, and it's very much emphasized.
Yeah.
It's not actually important. Mm. And mm. you think, like you're saying, then you end up being confused.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. If you see that verse, which Rupa Goswami's verse, Anya Abhilashida Shunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavratam, Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. This is the verse from there, this misconception has come. Rupa Goswami says there, Anya Abhilashida Shunyam, first thing is free from desires. Zero desires, in other words. Jnanam karmadi anavradam. Jnanam and karmam is not binding this anymore. That means, a person who has come to pure bhakti, the bhakti Rupa Goswami is talking about, is a very high state, in the sense that it is beyond jnanam and karmam. As I mentioned before in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that, isn't it? Brahmam, brahmaru, brahmabhuda prasannatma, na shochati, na kankshati, sama sarveshu bhudeshu, Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param, that bhakti. That's a bhakti Rupa Goswami is talking about. Jnana Karmadi Anavadam. There you have gone beyond Jnanam and Karmam. Jnanam state and Karmam state is gone already. You passed that all and come to the state of pure bhakti. So Anya Abhilashida Shunyam. At that time there is no desires inside. What does Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita? Exactly the same thing, isn't it? No desires anymore. Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam, then only thing that matters is in that state of consciousness engaging in serving Krishna. That means in one of those rasas, Shandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuyam. The five rasas comes in there. Bhakti Ruttama, that bhakti is good. He says the best bhakti. So, Jnanam and Karmam, what we mean to say is that, oh, jnanam and karmam, I have nothing to do with it. We can't say that. Jnanam and we are created like this. What can we do about it? If I say I don't want it, karmam, karmam is not going to leave me. I don't want it, but it wants me. What I can do about it? I have created karmam. That's why I got this body like this. Prarabdham is what this body is called. Sometimes we misunderstand that. People say that, I've handed over all my karma to spiritual master. Spiritual master has taken all karma. Strictly speaking, it's not in that way to be understood. What spiritual master does is that out of the three kinds of karma, which probably you know what they are, that karma is categorized into three. Prarabdham, Agamam, Sanchitam. Right. What is this three karma? We keep on doing karma in this world, and many lifetimes we have done karma, isn't it? In that karma, it is in a goes to a bank account, karma account you can call it, karma bank account, it's there. The quantity of that account is big. It grows all the time. It never comes down very much, it grows. And it's a big bank account. From there, a small part of it is taken and given to you, go and experience this karma in this life. That is called prarabdham. That thing which has fructified and ready for consumption or ready for experiencing it is called prarabdham. So that prarabdham creates this body, what we have today. It is called prarabdha karma, prarabdha shariram. That's what this is called. So in this body, what happens is you experience only that part which has been decided by the higher authorities, material nature, that you are going to experience, that only you will experience in this body. So that's why we say, prarabdham cannot be wiped out. You can't escape from prarabdham. This is the Bhagavata Siddhantam. That prarabdha karmam, you have to go through. Nothing can be done, because it's already decided. You got the body now. You have to live through that. So prarabdham, you can't escape. Then the other two, Agamam and Sanchitam. While in this being in this body, you are doing again karma. The result of that, you are creating more karma further, isn't it? That again goes back into the bank account, and that is called Agamam, Agama karma. It stays there in that, which will fructify later and become Prarabdham in due course. But there is still some karmam left there, already in your subtle body, karmavasana is there, that you have to accept another body. And that karma, which was staying back in that bag, in the karma account, is called Sanjidam. Sanji means bag. Sanjidam means that is in the bag already. So Sanjidam is there, Prarabdham is there, Agamam is there. When you get, when the spiritual master takes away a karma from a person, what he is actually taking away is this Agama karma. That means the chances are that once it you have properly initiated, and once a relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is good, and spiritual master relationship is strong, and the spiritual master has the strength of taking away one's karma, what actually it means is, he stops this accumulating new karma in the form of agama karma. Agama won't happen anymore after that. Why? Because the spiritual master has fixed his disciple in spiritual life so strongly that he will not get any more any desire to execute karma which will bind him anymore. Such, even if he has to act in this world, he will act in such a way and create, and the activities will be such that it doesn't create karma. In other words, it will be karma yoga. All his activities will be in karma yoga. Otherwise, all this has no meaning. All this has no meaning. If you start thinking that I got been initiated, but if karma yoga is not practiced from then on, then the karma is again being created. He's again created. So what he actually takes away is this agama karma goes away. Agama karma goes away. Prarabdham you have to go through. You have to go through. That is why you find sometimes great personalities, even highly realized souls, you will see them suffering in this world through the body. Why? Prarabdham is still there. It hasn't left them. And that applies to everyone. Everyone. So prarabdham, you can't walk away from that. Agamam can be protected by engaging in spiritual life and the guidance of a spiritual master who gives you that protection, and he does not make sure that you doesn't get again accumulate any more karma from this world. That is agama. Sanjidam is the one which you can remove by sadhana. Sanjidam you can kill by sadhana. Through powerful sadhana, if one has very strong sadhana, the sanjida vasanas, or the vasanas that is in the sanjidam, they will disappear one after the other. That is called chitta shuddhi, purity inside. So, three kinds of karma, three kinds of, you have to deal with it in three different ways. So, jnanam and karmam, both are the processes given to one who is seriously looking for spiritual realization. As I mentioned before, the people who follow the process of jnana margam, generally, they will have very little vasanas inside. Practically nothing, you can say. Vasana side will be zero completely. They also won't have much of a prarabdham left in them. And even if they have to live in that body, they will tolerate everything in this world for the sake of this higher goal. Because inside, it is burning inside for self-realization and to go back to the to the spiritually realized state. They are just in this world due to some little prarabdham that is left in them. Therefore, they stay back here. That's all. Otherwise, they are already liberated within that body. And that is a state to go through the jnana marga. You reach that way. Through karma margam, those who could not do that, because we have vasanas inside still left in us from previous lifetimes and what we have acquired in this world, we have to follow this process of karma. Karma yogena yoginam. And karma has to be purified first. That is why in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna started with this karma. If karma is not pure, then nothing can happen. We can keep on make a show in this world. Nothing will work. Because the whole science is different. Krishna is telling us that karma yogam and yajanam and removing them. That is how Krishna says. That you make it a sacrifice, the life, which is karma yogam, a sacrifice, and remove your karma with that. Yajanam and removing it with that. So, that's why the third chapter is important. When you study third chapter in depth, like the way we did with second chapter, you will notice it all makes sense. It will make a lot of sense when you study the third chapter. So, that is the reason. Unless all these things are pure, if you say, I'm just a devotee, and everything will happen the way I want it, it's not going to happen. It's not possible. That's why it is important that we don't move away. Prabhupada created and instituted this system in that way, that we don't make this a material business. It has to be sacrifice and sacrifice all the way through, from beginning to end. That means our energy, our intelligence, our senses, everything has to be in service, Krishna's service. Then it becomes karma yoga. And in the early stages particularly, nobody has that pure love for Krishna. Nobody has that in the early stages particularly. Even after 40 years, people are asking, what is Krishna? They ask this question. So why said, karma is not pure yet. Purification hasn't happened inside. So when the purification happens, then at some point in time, when karma yoga is practiced properly, executed properly in our life, then at some point you will realize that automatically the bliss coming from inside, from the soul, the bliss one will experience, that he won't be any more morose or any kind of stress he will experience after a long period of practice this karma yoga. And you will experience that happiness from inside, which will eventually lead him to the process of knowledge, and then later to bhakti. So bhakti is a very higher state, doesn't need to be even discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna mentions bhakti in few instances, all in respect to one thing, to surrender. In order to get us to surrender to this, surrender means what? Actually, we misunderstand sometimes surrender. Surrender means that Krishna has told us certain things about spiritual life, right? And Krishna's instructions have stayed in this world over 5,000 years now. All the great authorities in spiritual life, Vedic tradition, they have accepted without any question about Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has given a very prominent position because of that. Now, if you accept Krishna's instructions without any reservation from inside, then Krishna calls that you are free from envy. That is the envy word he uses there. Remember? Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmam Sasukham Kartum Avyayam. In that chapter you will see envy mentioned. Arjuna, you are free from envy. Remember, yesterday we were discussing. Arjuna was free from envy. In other words, Arjuna had such a heart that whatever Krishna has spoken, he will accept it wholeheartedly. Or if he has doubts, he will ask at that point. He was not sticking on to some dogma like Yudhishthira did. Yudhishthira Maharaj was sticking on to this dogma of morals rather than accepting the knowledge of what Krishna is saying. So Yudhishthira had certain reservations about what Krishna was saying. Arjuna had no reservations. So Krishna is saying, Arjuna, you are more qualified to take this knowledge because you have no envy. Envy, when we say in the material life, envy means we are envious of somebody's wealth or somebody's position or somebody's fame, things like that. Krishna doesn't mean that by the word envy. Asuya is the word used. Asuya, in the spiritual sense, what it means is, somebody has given you something very important and inside you have a resistance to accept it. That knowledge what Krishna has given, you have a resistance to accept that. You still have your own idea. And that's Krishna calls it as envy. Krishna calls it as envy. So you understand what I'm saying. Jnanam karmam is not something you can take it away. If you take jnanam karmam and away from Bhagavad Gita, there's nothing left in this to talk about. Six chapters have gone for karmam in the first. Everybody agrees with that. The first six chapters refers to karmam. The last six chapters refer to jnanam. So 12 chapters gone. Then in the remaining middle six chapters, if you look, you will see most of it is centered around karma and jnanam. Bhakti is spoken very, very little in there. Because that bhakti state is a very it's gone beyond spirituality. It has come to the platform of real experience of Krishna in the pure form. That is bhakti. And that is a state which one has to think about when you get that far. It's a long way to go.
Listening to all this, I think we all have nowhere to go.
Yes, it's better to recognize that we have a long way to go. Otherwise, we think we have already got there, then we'll be in trouble.
So, can I ask? Thank you very much indeed for all the number of weeks that you've given us chapter 2.
Yeah.
The question I have is one very important conclusion you made, that we need to take Bhagavad Gita seriously and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
On the backdrop that we've got this sadhana process that's given us, what more can we do in terms of the practical aspects of
this? Yes. Sadhana process is important. There is no doubt about that. Sadhana is for chitta shuddhi, to purify inside us. And sadhana brings a certain discipline in life. I mentioned that also before, isn't it? Sadhana brings discipline in life. Sadhana cannot be avoided. Some sadhana is necessary. What extent you do it, that's completely up to the individual, how much he can do it. It's not that if you chant 15 rounds instead of 16, that 10% is taken, or 5% is taken away. It's not a business account like that. It's completely in your own. If that 15 rounds is chanted very well, rather than the 16 rounds you chant without any attention to it, it is no good. So, sadhana depends, the quality of the sadhana is important. That chanting the holy name, which is what Prabhupada has given all of us, and which is the best process in this age, and Shastram also confirms that, that should be done to our strength, our capacity. So sadhana is important. Apart from sadhana, the remaining part of the day, how should it be spent? This is the question, isn't it? This is the question.
Especially in our sort of situation as well.
Yeah, I know.
Family.
Yes, I know. So, the important thing Krishna has mentioned here many times, Siddha Pratyatvam state. First thing, Krishna spoke about Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. Remember that? Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. Krishna is saying that if this decision is not made first, Krishna's point is, if you make the decision, everything will come around, centered around it. If you are having doubts still inside about Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken, if there is doubts inside, you may say that you have no doubts, you accept that. That is not acceptance. Acceptance means this, making this Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi decision inside. So once that decision is made inside, that this second chapter, what Krishna has spoken, is important. My life has to be based on this. If that decision is made, then that thought will remain inside always. It should remain inside always. Only then that decision is perfect. Suppose you make any decision in this world, what happens? Normally, say for example, you have taken up a job somewhere. You have made a decision to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning every day. It's already there, isn't it? That decision you have made. Every day you don't have to make that decision. You have decided, so long as the work is there, so long as I'm happy with the work, I'm going to do this work for the rest of my life, or whatever the contract period is. So you can see, only if you make the decision it happens, isn't it? So it is based on the decision that you are operating other things, you are doing the other things. Similarly, Krishna is saying, if you have accepted these instructions, then your life, you have to make that decision first, that whatever I have spoken is important, and you take it on board completely, which means that mind has to get absorbed in that. Even if we have to do work, doesn't matter. Krishna says, while working also, these thoughts can remain inside. And that is up to us how to balance it with the physical and mental activity and the spiritual activity. That is left to us how we balance it out. Without, even while doing mentally and spiritually some activity, whether we are cooking in the kitchen, whether we are teaching at the school, whether you are a doctor in the operation theater, whether you are engineer doing some engineering job, whether you are in business, in all these circumstances, Krishna says it is possible to culture this knowledge inside. And to prove that alone, Krishna brought this knowledge to the battlefield. Because there is no other place more troublesome than the battlefield. If it can be practiced in battlefield, Krishna's question to us is, why can't it be done in all other fields? So the point is this, that first making that decision, that is why Krishna kept on repeating that. Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi egeha kurunandana. Bahushaga Anandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. So because that Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi is not there in us, by when we are working outside, our mind gets completely absorbed in the work, and then the consequences from the work, and plus this kartrutvam boktrutvam is very much inside us. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Because we have accepted all responsibility on our own shoulders, when we are keeping spiritual life separately from me, from my actions, isn't it? But while working, while results coming, good or bad, if under all these circumstances, if we accept what Krishna has spoken, that material nature is working through this body, I am not the person who is actually executing the work. So that's why karma yoga is also not an easy thing. Don't misunderstand. Jnana yoga itself is very difficult. It's only for few people. Karma yoga also is a difficult process. It's not an easy process. But Krishna says by practicing it, whole lifetime if you practice this, whatever time we have left now in this world, according to Krishna's instruction, we should start from the very beginning. If you haven't done that, we can't do anything about it. Gone is gone. But from now on at least, if we take these instructions from Krishna and practice the karma as a karma yogam in the way, if it is followed, Krishna says you will see the result at the end. But if we don't start all the time thinking about how can this be done, how can this be done, it will never get done. That's the point. So we have to accept it without any reservations. Krishna is talking to us in a very, very logical way. Everything has been presented to us. We know we are not anywhere near to the mark. We are far away from the level, what Krishna is saying. But Krishna's point is, you have got this body, you got some mind, intelligence, some senses and some energy left in you. At least from now on, use this. With this understanding, live in this world. Practice karma yoga and bring the karma or actions, whatever we are doing, to this standard. Try to bring it up in that way. If you start practicing, Krishna says in due course of time, you will make that progress. Progress will happen. So, it is difficult to say on an hour-to-hour basis what one should do. Krishna can give you only the principle. That principle you have to take it on board and see in your daily life how it can be applied. That is completely up to the individual. And doing in that way, he says, that it becomes a karma yogam. Somehow or the other, karma becomes a karma yogam. In other words, what does karma yoga mean? We studied, talked about that, isn't it? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu. No attachment, no aversion when the results come. And kartutvam, no boktrutvam. No, I am the doer, nor the enjoyer. This is not something that will happen overnight. It won't. But if this understanding is inside, whenever that kartrutvam, boktrutvam, ragadvesham happens, if we can withdraw from the scene, pull back a little bit and go back to the soul and take shelter there, then you will find in due course of time, this ragadvesham will leave. And kartrutva boktrutvam also will leave. It's all, Krishna says, abhyasenadu kaundeya vairagyanaja grihyade. Abhyasam is the practice, is the main thing behind it. And combined with vairagyam, detachment from this world, this knowledge will shine inside. That's how Krishna presents that. It's okay.
Just to add to that, many of these verses, there's a lot more subtle.
Very much so, very much so.
In terms of, again, keeping forefront as the practical side of this, how do you get into the subtle nature? Because that's one of the key things that I always get confused. When I read it, I get one understanding. When I reread it again, there's a different understanding.
The only people who could help us on the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita is the great authorities on the Bhagavad Gita. As you know, Bhagavad Gita is a literature which has been accepted by not only all the acharyas, even great personalities. See, it's not sectarian, isn't it? It's for anyone who wants to take it, he can take it and use it in life. So, therefore, it has attracted the attention of many great personalities from political field, philosophical field, from the scientific field, and all fields. People are attracted by Bhagavad Gita's philosophy. Because it makes all, if one takes it seriously and studies it, it makes sense. There's no doubt about that. It makes sense. And as you mentioned that, the subtlety is where people find it very difficult. And on the subtle aspect to understand, it mostly has to be explained by someone, has to explain that. And then you will also start thinking your direction will go in that way. You will start recognizing the subtlety of that. It's not something you can learn from a book. Books won't explain it that way. For example, if you read a commentary from Ramanuja or Shankaracharya's commentary on Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, in very few words, they have said what they have to say. But who understands them well? Those who have studied Upanishads, those who have studied Brahma Sutram, and who have that understanding from other areas, who have acquired that understanding, they will immediately understand what Acharyas are saying. In some places, you will get stuck. You will get stuck while reading their commentaries. You will get stuck. There you will require help from someone else to help you on that. So it's always something you can understand. As long as you recognize Bhagavad Gita has a lot of knowledge and it's a gold mine as far as knowledge is concerned. If you recognize that, you will have that curiosity to find it and you will also be willing to listen. But once you have thought that, I've understood everything in Bhagavad Gita, then the door is closed. Then nothing more will come in. So, Bhagavad Gita is concerned, you have to keep the door open all the time. Somewhere, you will find some understanding coming as soon as you keep hearing about Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a literature which so many great personalities have read and appreciated the purity of that message. Purity of the message. There is no reference to any kind of sectarian understanding or any kind of based on religious understanding. It's purely a science Krishna is presenting to us.
Is it beneficial to read the commentaries on Ramanuja?
That's what I'm saying. Even if you read them, you won't understand. First of all commentaries are in Sanskrit, isn't it? So when you read them, you will find they have made it so abbreviated where they have wrote these commentaries. Very small commentaries they are, but full of power inside. So that's why every word then you have to understand what they have written. So that means you need to hear again about these things. Huh? Some people, like most of the Jnanamargam, Jnanis who follow that process, they take the pain to study it very seriously, every word they look at and think about it and see what the Acharyas had in their mind when they wrote the commentary. Like that. But we don't have that time in our life. Our life, as much as we can grasp within our capacity and as much as we can take it on our board in our life, that is our success. We won't become a Shankaracharya or Ramanujacharya in this life. That's not possible. They have come because Krishna has sent them here to do that particular task. We have come because of our prarabdham. Therefore, we have to live through the prarabdham, isn't it? So, while being in prarabdham, the best thing you can do is to take as much understanding as possible what we have read and heard from Bhagavad Gita and how much we take it on in our life. That is more important than anything else. As Krishna says, somehow or the other, before death happens, if we create a world completely different from the world of the body, world of the mind, a separate world, which is called the world of the soul, Bodhamandalam, that's the word in Shastram. And if we somehow enter into it, even for some time in life, even if you don't get fully fixed there, fully fixed means you are Sthita Prajnatam then, there's no more. But if you enter there and stay in that world for some time in this life, Krishna says at the time of death, that will protect you from while leaving this body. That's the guarantee from the last words. Esham Brahmistiti Partha. Isn't it? If Krishna says there in that 72, verse 72, he says, Esham Brahmistiti Partha. Nainam prapya vimukhyadi. Stitvasyam andakalepi. Brahmanirvanam vachadi. This is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. Actually, as far as Krishna is concerned, everyone is bewildered in this world, not knowing what the truth is. And it's a fact also. All of us are bewildered, isn't it? If you ask anyone, why am I doing all these things? We don't know. There's no answer to any of those questions. That you can ask even from the President of the United States, right? If you ask him, why are you doing all this? He also no answer. He's just doing it because he has been put into that situation by material nature. He is doing that. We have been put into this situation. We are doing this. That's the only difference. But neither us nor him or anyone in this world has a clear clue why they are doing it. Isn't it? That's what he says. That's that bewilderment Krishna is talking about. Nainam prapi vimuhyadi. Moham has to turn in that way. That we are acting under the impulse or under the propelled by the modes of material nature. We are operating in this world combined with our prarabdham karmam that is causing this. So, stitvasyam andagalebi. At the time of death, even the time of death, Krishna says, even at the hour of death, during being so situated. If you are situated in that way, even at the tower, at the time of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. That is released from this bondage once for all. So, Brahmanirvanam Rachadi. So, this Shandi, what Krishna is talking about, is the state of realized state. In Bhagavad Gita also, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as we mentioned, Tadaparam Shandi Upayati Sakshal. Another proof of that, if you want to look in carefully into some of the devotees, take for example Sudama's life, right? Have you noticed how Sudama is described in the Bhagavatam? How Sukadeva Goswami described Sudama? Sudama was in that state all the time. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami says there, Prashanda Atma, that Shandi was already in him. That is what pleased Krishna. Prashanda Atma, Jitendriya. In spite of that, he was not free from Prarabdham. Prarabdham hasn't left him. That's why he had to stay like that. But he was not in that body anymore. He was already freed from the body. But body hasn't gone, so he has to stay. Prashanda Atma Jitendriya says, that referring to Sukadeva Goswami, referring to Sudama, that is how Sukadeva Goswami called him. Prashanda Atma Jitendriya. All senses completely under control and full of Shandi inside. This is the symptom of a liberated soul. So,
just one question.
Yeah.
You mentioned that when somebody's passing away, reading chapter 2 will benefit him.
Yeah.
When that person has no understanding of...
Even then.
Yeah,
because these words, Krishna's words, when Krishna says we should recite these words, means the verses. Yeah, the words have that potency because it is Krishna's words, isn't it? Even that will help him to not to go into any hellish conditions. But important thing is Krishna says it should be heard before. Because Krishna has said like that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything. We'll, when the person is dying, we'll go and read the second chapter. That's not the idea. It is that even if he hears this at the time of death, it will do something good for him. That he may not enter into completely hellish conditions. Sometimes these verses may go through the ear. When it will hit anybody, you can never say. You can never say when spiritual message will hit anyone. Sometimes you can see some people when they experience, say, after a war or something, terrible distress happens in a society. People become more God conscious at that time. They realize that it was not worth all these things. All this fighting, killing, quarreling each other was not worth. But they come to the senses after everything is destroyed. So they become more pious then, isn't it? This is how all the communities all over the world have gone through this. They had gone through war, they have gone through different kinds of natural disasters. And then they open their eyes. They are receptive for the message at that time. When continuous sense gratification is going on, it's very difficult to preach spiritual life to them. They won't value it. But when suddenly disaster happens in life, in various forms which we experience, very often we had this experience in ISKCON also. that sometimes you find that somebody, he did not take to the spiritual life very seriously. But then after some experiences in life, they realized that spiritual life is important. Then they took to Krishna consciousness later. So this happens at the time when we have some vairagyam inside, some realization inside about the futility of material life and also the temporary nature of this world. We started thinking, what is this all about, isn't it? So when that thought will develop in a person, it's very difficult to say. So similarly, even at the time of death, it can happen to a person. Suppose you read the verses to him, you will never know, it may have some impact on him straight away. That Brahmistiri, he may start appreciating inside, and that may protect him at that point. But safer than all that is if he practice it now, before all that state happens. That now the body is there, the mind is there, the senses are there, and there's a little bit time also. And if we take the message seriously and at least absorb the mind in these thoughts a little seriously, Krishna has talked to us a lot of things in that chapter, isn't it? So whole background talks about the soul, soul's beauty, soul's capabilities, and what is causing us, what is called bondage, what is liberation, and what are the symptoms of a person who is liberated. All sorts of things Krishna has spoken in these 72 verses. So if you keep this absorbed in these thoughts of these things, it will help us at the time of death. Krishna says, Brahmistiri is possible to reach that state even while living in this body. If we permanently get situated there, Krishna says, problem is resolved once for all. But even if we don't stay in that platform all the time, at least for some time, if we make it in this lifetime, he says, that will protect you at the time of death. But that, this is what taking Krishna shelter means. Taking Krishna shelter means this, that taking Krishna's instructions on board and living like that, that is Krishna shelter. Not that I went and paid my obeisances and I have taken shelter of Krishna. Sharanagati is like that. This is how that surrender comes inside. And if you take shelter, Krishna says, I will give you the shelter. But first we have to take the shelter. And then Krishna gives the shelter.
So this is basically 50%. I mean, the other 50% is chapter 3, Karma Yoga.
Yeah. With that, as far as Krishna is concerned, Bhagavad Gita is finished with that. All that is coming afterwards, you see, all the great, pravachakas, or those who are exponents of religious principles, they have a way of presenting. What they do, first they will talk the truth, then they will expand it, and then they will conclude it. Summary they will tell you. First they will explain to you the message. The second and third chapter is the message. From fourth chapter right up to the 17th chapter is an expansion of this, what is spoken in the second and third chapter. And in the 18th chapter, it's a summary of all that. This is the process they follow. All of them, they do the same thing. That they have, first they tell you the message, then they expand the message to get more clarity, and then eventually they summarize everything and conclude that.
So when do we start? Chapter 3.
We can start later. As soon as I come back from India, I'm going in March. So when I get back, we can think about a date after that and start with chapter 3. But when you study, if you study second chapter very well, it will be a good background to understand the third chapter. Yeah, because third chapter is very closely linked to second chapter. Very closely linked to second chapter, as I mentioned, that Sangyam Karmam, discussed in second chapter. Then Karmam was taken to the third chapter to clarify. In fact, Karma Yogam is also discussed in the second chapter. The four principles of Karma, Chatur Sutram they call it. What is that? Karmanne Vadhigaraste, Ma Bhaleshu Kadachana, Ma Karma Balahe Dubur, Ma Te Sangos Twagarmani. The four Karma Sutram, that was discussed in the second chapter, not in the third chapter. So after hearing all that, Arjuna has started asking these questions about karma. Arjuna understood that Jnanam is not his way. He left it there itself, didn't want to go further after the Sankhya. So he understood that karma is what is meant for him. That's why he started asking about karma. And that is in response to that the third chapter was spoken. Third chapter is a very important chapter. And if you understand third chapter, you can see it is the chapter which drives our life in this world. Which actually drive our life in this world is that third chapter. And if it is followed properly, the third chapter, all the bhakti, all the knowledge will come in a natural way. It will happen to us. This is the beauty of that third chapter. If it is done properly, automatically the knowledge and the bhakti will come from that, by executing that karma yogam in the way it's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Only thing, you have to take it completely 100% on board that this is what is karma yoga means. We have to understand that and live in that life, then it will happen. That is the point Krishna is making in that third chapter. Then all the other questions which comes afterwards, subsequently Arjuna asks various kinds of questions and Krishna is clarifying them for different reasons why he spoke the other chapters based on different questions. But the basic message of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is finished with the third chapter, second and third chapter. That's all Krishna wants to tell us. And then, of course, it came in the 18th chapter form later.
So chapter 2 and 3 are equivalent of chapter 11.
You could say like that, yeah. You can say like that. It is the very cream of the Bhagavad Gita. And if chapter 2 and 3 is understood very well, then remaining part also is very easy to understand. Like if you take, for example, universal form is discussed, Krishna's universal form. Bhakti Yogam is discussed in the 12th chapter. Three modes of material nature is discussed in the 13th or 14th chapter. Then the Yoga of the Supreme Person is discussed, Purushottama Yogam. Then also they have discussed the opulences of the Absolute, the most confidential knowledge of the Absolute. All these chapters is nothing but to drive these two chapters deeper into us, to drill that into us deeply. So because these chapters will be better understood if we study other chapters, therefore the other chapters are spoken. But in principle, if these two chapters, if you have understood, and if it is taken in life, even if you don't study all other chapters, doesn't matter. To such an extent, message is in these two chapters. Provided we put it into practice. If we don't put it into practice, then it's not worth anything. It's only a loss.
The interesting thing is that how you linked all the other literature with this chapter 2.
Yeah.
In relation to that, how do we link chapter 2 and 3 to Canto 11? I mean, is there a mapping?
When you finish Canto 11, you will realize it, that the knowledge what Krishna has given in the Canto 11 is also not much different than what is spoken in these chapters. Only thing difference in Canto 11 and in the Bhagavad Gita is this, that Arjuna was purely in relationship with Karma Yoga. Bhagavad Gita was spoken more stressing on karma. The Jnana Yogam chapters, the six chapters at the last of Bhagavad Gita, is not expressed in detail like the way it is spoken in the Bhagavad. In Bhagavad, it's a lot more, on a higher level it's spoken. For example, Vedanta philosophy, what Krishna has spoken through Ekadasha Skandam, the Canto 11, is on a much higher level. In other words, take for example, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti state is not discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Krishna has left it while discussing it Uddhava, isn't it? And these three states of existence are important to understand us properly. As I mentioned before, the people in the modern scientific world, they only take the Jagrat state into calculations, in all their analysis of us, our body. Whereas, Swapnam and Sushupti are equally important, like Jagrat state. If you don't take them into account, our life is not complete, isn't it? More than 50% of our life is in Swapnam Sushupti stage. So, those things, on a higher level, when Krishna wanted to talk about it, because Uddhava was a fully ripened person for receiving that knowledge, Krishna spoke to him. Arjuna was not a ripened fruit for that receiving that knowledge. So in Arjuna's level, Krishna wanted Arjuna to execute Karma Yoga and to bring him back to the state of realization to fight the war. So he has limited that in there, in Jnana Yoga. So Jnana Yoga is explained much more in depth in the Ekadasha Skandha, in Canto 11. But many other chapters in the Bhagavatam, you will find they are very much the same what is in the Bhagavad Gita. For example, three modes of material nature. It's here, it's there as well. Varnashrama Dharma mentioned here, it is discussed there also. Then the Shraddhatray Vibhaga Yoga. There is a chapter there in the Bhagavad Gita. That means, Shraddhatraya means that you are based on the Shraddha. Satyuga Shraddha, Rajasa Shraddha, Tamasa Shraddha. Shraddhatrayam. That Shraddha, Krishna has given one chapter here in the Bhagavad Gita, and the same thing comes in the Bhagavadam also. So they are all, you can see when we go further in the Bhagavadam, which chapter in Bhagavadam is connected to which chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. It will come later on, like that. So they are together knit very closely, and those who are looking for spiritual realization, all of them is valuable and useful also. And you can take advantage of it. But the whole ordinary level, when you are starting spiritual life, Bhagavad Gita is the key literature. To start with karma, that's what Krishna is saying there. That karma has to get pure. And after that, all other things can happen. But the key is karma. Karma clarity there. And even if one becomes a devotee, or one takes to shelter of the spiritual processes, various spiritual processes, if karma is not right, then it can never reach perfection at any stage. You won't make any spiritual progress. That's what. Because strictly speaking, one who is practicing karma yoga properly, after a while all anxieties must go from inside, and he will radiate some peace and happiness in the world. He should radiate some peace and happiness in this world. It should happen in a natural way to him. But if it does not happen, it means that somewhere in the process there is not followed properly. That's what it means. I think we'll stop then, yeah? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.